I've made it seem like
Blog Talk Radio.
Where's Sauk Central, New York? Da Vinci, where you at? Yo, shorty.
Yo, shorty.
No, I'm coming right back. When I leave, you know I'm coming right back. Do what you do, you know how I like that. When I leave, it's never forever. Before it's all said and done, you better get it together. So when I come back, I hope things get better. Just think back on the times that we treasured. Making love in a tub, all pleasure. The love that I got for you, they couldn't measure. Even if I leave, don't mean that I'm leaving. If I don't make it home, don't mean that I'm cheating. Out on the road doing shows for the weekend. No reason to act like that. So when I leave, I'll be right back. Forget about the lies and rumors. Just to see you wish it could be sooner. Me plus you just equals a little junior.
I'll be right back, baby. Said I'll be right back, baby. I promise you I'll never leave. As long as you have me. Said I'll be right back, baby. Then I'll be right back, baby. I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back to you.
When I make it home, you know it's all love, girl. So you know it ain't no reason to bug, girl. Stop tripping. Stop flipping. Whenever we together, my heart starts skipping. Whenever I'm gone, you the one that I'm missing. I got you on my mind all of the time. You know the haters gon' hate and the lies gon' lie. Think about it. They don't wanna see you by my side. Never meant to hurt you. Don't wanna see you cry. Last thing I wanna see is some tears in your eyes. I'll be right back. I know you hear it all the time. If I ain't with you, then I'm out on the grind. Told you. It ain't even like that. Just know when I leave, I'm coming right back. Told you, it ain't even like that. Just know when I leave, I'm coming right
said
back.
I'll be right back, baby. Said I'll be right back, baby. I promise you I'll never leave. As long as you have me. I said I'll be right back, baby. Said I'll be right back, baby. I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back.
No matter where I go, you'll always be on my mind. G-Swift said it best, I'm just on my grind. You know I'll be there for you, when you're down and don't know what to do. Go ahead and take my hand, I'll pull you up and help you stand. It don't matter what them haters say, just remember that I'm here to stay. Ain't no one tear me away from you. Don't care what they try to do. They're just jealous of what we got. So we'll look at this and laugh. Cause just like I told you, I came right
back. I'll be right back, baby.
Said
I'll be right back, baby. I promise you I'll never leave. As long as you have me. Said I'll be right back, baby. Said I'll be right back, baby. I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back.
Then
I'll be right back, baby. Then I'll be right back, baby.
When you finish recording, you can hang up or press 1 for more.
Then I'll be right back, baby. Then I'll be right back, baby. I swear that no matter where I go, I'll be coming right back to you.
Coming right back to you. Oh, you know I'm coming back to you. Oh, back to you. Coming back to you.
Hello, hello, everybody. How you guys doing out there? I see a lot of you guys in here already early in the day, man. It's great to have you guys here. Welcome to the Nation Building. This is where we build the nation there, guys. So I'm going to let Sister Skizzy talk. Sister Skizzy, are you there?
Yes, I am here with a compromised voice. But I'm here, Sister. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Sister Skizzy?
I'm hanging in here. It's good to hear your voice, sir.
Good to hear you, too, baby. Look, guys, this is what we're going to do today. If you got a question, just press 1 in your phone line, all right? Just press 1, and I'll see it, and I'll say, okay, I'm going to do 662 or 505. That's how we do it around here at Nation Billing, all right? So if you guys got questions, we want you guys to ask questions now. So everybody stay with us. Don't go nowhere. Don't hang up, and we'll get to your questions, all right? Thank you.
Okay, so Brother Caesar, who do we have on the line tonight?
You got Brother Michael out there. Brother Michael, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
How you doing, man?
Doing fine, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Michael.
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Gizit, and how are you doing?
I'm blessed by Allah's grace. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine myself, thank you.
Okay, Brother Caesar's Brother Michael, it?
Yeah, that's it. I couldn't get in touch with Sister Kim or Brother Vernon. I don't know why, but I couldn't get in touch with those guys. Maybe we can call back, or maybe you can get in touch with them when we go to break, or while Brother Michael is talking, you can call them up and let them know they can call in if they want.
Yes, I think Brother Vernon is in transit, and Sister Kim fortunately had car trouble, so
okay.
We may or may not hear from her this evening.
Okay.
So, Brother Michael, it looks like it's you and I for right
now. Okay. All right. We'll see what we can do.
I'm getting nervous, brother. I'm getting nervous.
That's all I need. That's all I need to pull out, Brother Michael. You guys, Gidget is on top of her stuff every week, man. All she needs is a little sidekick there, and you guys can pull it off.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Thank you for your vote of confidence, Brother Caesar. Okay, listen. Tonight I want to do something just a little bit different. I found a scripture in 2 Timothy that I would like to read and share with you. And this is coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this is verses 1 through 6, real quick. It says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts." Now, the reason why I read that, Brother Michael, is because I was researching statistics that revealed the reason for divorce in this day and time. And what I found in those statistics is that it's kind of leaning half and half on finances and infidelity. So I want to hear your opinion of that. Do you agree with those findings?
The findings? Oh, yes, most definitely. I was reading along with you with the scripture. This is, you know, the opposite of our restrictive laws. You know, we're taught that our restrictive laws are success at any time. But yes, I wholeheartedly agree with those statistics in this time. I mean, you could go outside and see that even in the Nation of Islam or outside the Nation of Islam, the statistics are the same. And if you look at one of the quotes that you said, one of the lines that said they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. So there's the problem right there. We're not following the dictates of God. So if we're not following the dictates of God, then we'll be all of those that you mentioned in that scripture.
Yes, sir. And the reason why I really thought about that is because, you know, I've listened to the minister over and over again, and like I always say, I've been the odd man out. So
yeah.
I wasn't necessarily agreeing with Mr. Farrakhan on the subject of our men. But as I began to study, I began to understand and kind of see a big picture. So my question to you is that it's kind of a two-part question. And
okay.
The question is, do you consider your financial position when you find a court mate, and does the lack of finances deter you from the attraction? So I was hoping I had to him here, because that's kind of a unisex question. But as a man, if you find that a court mate she might not be employed or anything of that nature, would that determine your attraction to her, or would you just be attracted to her as a person?
The latter. I would be attracted to her as just in terms of just as a person. It's funny that you brought up finance. I just watched a few days ago the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, How to Heal or Mend a Broken Heart. And he said that finance or money is not the determining factor. He said the determining factor is love. And once love becomes the determining factor, then money will come. A lot of us, I will admit some, I won't say all, but some are using that as a standard, because we are taught that we're the maintainers. So I could see a brother feeling bad if his finances aren't up to par. But after the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan said that, I tried to reason the two, because if you find somebody that you're attracted to and you may want to court them or maybe even marry them, then I could see that will get your backside off of being a lazy bum, I guess you could say, and going out there and doing what you need to do, because what else is going to motivate you? If we're sitting here year after year, some of us, not, you know, being married, what will motivate you? So, yes, that's how I would pretty much answer that question.
Yes, sir, and that's interesting, because I know from a female perspective, since my sister is not here, let me speak on her behalf. No, I'm speaking on my own personal behalf. I know myself personally, I mean, it has never been really a deciding factor for me. I know that I've met beautiful brothers who may not have had the income, but they had the spirit and the ability. And that was enough for me. You know, I wasn't trying to size up their pockets or anything like that.
Right.
And, you know, I guess we see what we want to see in the midst of attraction, but it has just never been a determining factor for me. I mean, if I made more money than him, or if for some reason his business or his work was up and down, to me it had no effect on his person and who he was. So the more I'm listening to the minister, he's like, you know, you need to put those brothers on the back burner till they get ready. But I'm kind of straddle the fence on that. Okay, I learned that our founder and chief of Nation Building has joined us, and I would like to recognize him at this point. Brother Rakim, are you on the phone, sir?
Let me see. Let me check them out right quick and see if they're there. Yeah, hold on. Let me click them in right quick.
Brother Rakim, can you hear me there?
Yes, assalamu alaikum. I had a hard time. I was trying to get off this mute button, and I don't know. This thing is kind of slow, but assalamu alaikum.
I ain't on mute, brother. I'm sorry about that.
ain't no problem at all. I'm here, Sister Gidget. I'm here. Brother Michael, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam, sir.
Brother, if I had known you had been, you were going to be on, if I knew you were going to be on, I should have had my cousin put some Prince on for us, brother. So
we can
jam on some Prince while you're online, brother.
Yes, sir. No problem, bro. Maybe next time. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I mean, let's see. What kind of song do we have that would fit this subject? I don't know. What was that, Kiss? I don't know. He mentioned something about finances and money in the song Kiss. I mean, we should have played that one.
Diamonds and Pearls would be the one.
There it is.
Diamonds and Pearls. Okay, all right. This is a gadget. Okay, all right. We got another Prince fan. All right, that's good. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm here. I'm here, brother. Brother Michael, I appreciate you coming aboard for our radio show tonight.
Oh, yes, sir. No problem.
Yes, sir.
I'm thankful that Sister Gidget, you know, thought highly enough of me to be able to come on here. And thank you.
Yes, sir. Don't get nervous. Hey, listen. Show all your personality. Don't get nervous. Don't get shy. Just show all your personality. Get as comfortable as you can possibly get. Because Sister Gidget, she's going to make you comfortable. You ain't got to worry about that. She's going to make you feel right at home.
Yes, sir. I'm feeling that already, so I'm a little more calm than I was in the beginning, so I'm warming up.
Praise be to God.
Okay.
Hey, check it out. You guys got a lot of listeners tonight. I'm just letting you know that up front, not to scare you guys, but I'm letting you know you got a lot of people tuning in. These people were tuned in before the show even got started.
Okay, well, all praise is due to Allah. Well, let me get to some more questions because maybe at the end of the show, Brother Michael might have a court mate out there or a potential wife to know what's going on. Okay. Sister Kimberly just confirmed with me that she's still having trouble with her vehicle, so she won't be joining us, so I guess I have to be the female. But my sisters who are out there listening, please feel free to press 1 and ask a question. You can ask me a question. You can ask Brother Michael a question, or you can make a comment. So, you know, this is for all of us. But my second question was going to be to Sister Kim was, how do you recognize a producer? And I guess I have to answer that question, which I was not prepared to do. But to me, I recognize a man who is trying, and I love to see a man who has a plan and who is trying to be to bring that plan into fruition. It's just a natural something that I'm attracted to. So, Brother Michael, in a woman, when you're looking for someone who is not just going to bring you, you know, happiness and pleasure and things of that nature, but when you look for a woman that you know or that you desire to also have your back, what qualities do you look for in her?
Well, I get asked this question a lot, and I have my definition already ready for you. You ready? The word that I always use is integrity. I look for integrity in a woman. And integrity is a concept or consistency of actions, values, methods, measures, principles, expectations, and outcomes. In ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness of accuracy of one's actions. Integrity is the inner sense of wholeness deriving from qualities such as honesty and consistency of character. As such, one may judge the others would have integrity to the extent that they act according to the values, beliefs, and principles they claim hold to. So that is a high standard, but not necessarily they have to be on point, but you would have to be at least striving towards that. All of us are not perfect, but I look for people who are sincerely striving to be upright, to be right, basically. So integrity. Number one.
Okay, so she may have integrity, but do you look for her to have financial capability as well?
Well,
I
that,
mean, you
to
know,
me,
we have to think about in the event that if something happens to our men and something happens to the income in the household, are we looking for a wife who is going to be able to kind of take over the reins, so to speak, or are we just planning and saving for a rainy day? What are we looking for? Are the FOI looking for? Let me ask that question.
Well, in my case, it would be, in a sense, it would be a help meet. It's like, you know, with my business, doing the incense, the oils, the pies and all, and that, she could help with calling customers while I may be out on the block or something to that effect. So that's how I look at it. If she were to have her own business or whatnot, that's fine. But, you know, a help meet to me is somebody that's going to help me take every aspect of myself, my personal being, to a higher level. So that's pretty much how I would answer that question.
Okay. I'm laughing, but I'm just so impressed. But I don't know why. I should have known. I've read enough of your posts to kind of know where you're coming from.
Yes.
But let me ask you this.
Yes.
How do you recognize a gold digger?
Wow, so that's kind of a hard one, because, I mean, if we're talking about a gold digger in the MGT, I can't say that I've been, you know, courting or around enough. But if we're talking on the outside, and, you know, this is back in the day, you know, you can see if someone likes you on a personal level or for what you have. So that's how I would detect that.
Stop.
Go ahead.
What determines that?
I think what determines that is you can put yourself in a position as a test to what you know someone may like. You can ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
You could ask a question and kind of get an idea of how people think and how people may react to certain aspects, you know. So ultimately that will, you know, that be determined in the long run. But if you're saying right off the bat, I don't know if you could just determine that right off the bat, but as time goes on, I'm sure it will come out.
So do you think men today are overly cautious of that, and not just because of their past experience, but because of the economic condition of our people and of our country today? Do you think that men are kind of apprehensive and kind of questioning the motives of sisters who are in pursuit of marriage or in pursuit of courtship?
Yes, I believe there's some truth to that. I mean, personally, mine would be more so my experiences. But I could see that, yes, also being the case. Because look at it like this. As some of the FOI, I'm sure their finances are not where they may want it to be, which is putting stress on them. So I could see from the sister's perspective, it could be the same aspect. So then the men are looking at it from that perspective. Well, if it's stressing me, well, maybe this is the reason she's maybe coming at me hardcore, so to speak. So mm-hmm. I could see that. Yes, I can see that being the case.
Okay, so do you think it's delaying the marriage process or just finances in general?
No, I think what's delaying the process is our obedience to Allah totally, and more so than we probably ever have or should in our lives. I mean, we're at a point now where we're pretty much almost 100% in darkness. And whatever righteousness we may have, let's just for argument's sake, maybe in the 80s or 90s, it wasn't as hard to be, I'm saying believers now. It may not have been as hard to be right as it is now. And in it being hard to be right and us not stepping up with the times, it was beautiful when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us closing the gap. He's seen how far we were behind. He sees we're not closing the gap. So as we're not closing that gap, a lot of our impediments are coming out, and we have to close the gap in order to do that, which what we're supposed to do.
So you think that's the reason why people delay getting married? Because
that could be one reason. I mean, if you want to go to a harder standard, people probably don't want to be married. They probably have, you know, friends on the outside or friends, you know, somewhere else. Maybe that could be a factor. Matter of fact, I'm sure that's a factor. 'Cause
wow.
It, you know, yeah. So, I mean, what else could it be in that sense other than what I've already stated earlier?
Okay, I mean, you know, everybody has an opinion. So we're going to ask the audience if they have a question or a comment at this time. Brother Cecil, can we pursue
yes,
a question? Comment?
We have somebody out there. Their phone number's not showing up. So, caller, you know who you are. You pushed one. Can you please speak now?
Yes, this is Brother Vernon Ahmed. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam, sir.
Peace and blessings to everyone. I was invited by Sister Gidget.
Yes, sir. Brother Vernon, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. We were trying to get the computer to call you, but we wasn't able to reach you. Do you have a number?
I connected a few times and dropped off, and you called, but for some reason it dropped off, and then I called back and you didn't hear anything. So we got it now.
Okay. Well, Brother Vernon has joined us, and Brother Vernon, we have been talking to Brother Michael. I don't know how much of the show that you heard, but thank you for joining us, and why don't you tell us who you are, what you do, and where you from.
Oh, wow. Right. Well, assalamu alaikum, everyone. Thank you for all the listeners. It's been a while since I've been on Blog Talk.
We can't hear you.
Hey, Brother Vernon, do you have something going on in the background. Can you get away from that noise in the background, please? Brother Vernon, are you still there? Yeah, we dropped off, man. He'll probably call back.
Okay, yeah, I think he was probably trying to get on while still en route. Okay, so let's see if we have a question by someone until we get Brother Vernon situated.
Okay, if you guys have a question, like I said, you can push one because all of you guys are on mute right now, and the reason why is because of the background noise that drowns out the guys that are speaking, so I like to tune everybody out until you have a question. So you won't be able to speak until you push your number one on your keypad or whatever, down one if you have to, and I'll get you on. Right now, you don't have anybody out there right now, Sister Gidget. Everybody looks like they're fine.
Okay. All right. So I guess I talked to Brother Michael about that. Well, see, I have female questions too, so let me just skip down to the male questions. Okay, so Brother Michael, you're a single man, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, tell us something about yourself.
Say something about myself besides the fact that I'm single, you said?
So, yes, share something with us about yourself besides the fact that you're single.
Besides the fact that I'm single, okay, well, I was born and raised in Seattle. Don't have no formal education. Quit school. Was in the wilderness about 10, 15 years. I started listening to the Honorable Minister's Farrakhan around 87, 88. But it was about a 10 to 11 years before I joined the Nation. So I joined the Nation of Islam in 1999. In that same year, I started doing for self, and now I've reached the top because I'm on Blog Talk Radio, which is the Gidget. So, wah wah wah.
Oh, that's so nice of you. So, what is it that you do, sir?
Well, sales is basically the incense and the pies and the oil. That's like the basis. But I mean, if I can get my hands on all kinds of stuff, I'll sell anything. I can get my hands on shirts sometimes or books, tapes. So I pretty much a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay. Well, now I know who to call for certain stuff. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Sister Gidget, let me ask you a question right quick. We have a caller back. It could be the same person. Let me see if it's him. No, I don't think so. Caller, 954, you're on. You can speak now.
Hi, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. How are you?
Good, by Allah's grace and yourself.
I am
Sister Lisa Muhammad.
Is this Lisa Michelle Muhammad?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hey sis, how you doing?
Good, by Allah's grace, ma'am. Yourself.
How you doing, Sister Michelle?
Good to you, sir.
Good.
My question is for Brother Michael X.
Michael X, he's right here, Sister Lisa, and be nice.
Yes, sir. My question is, Brother Michael, well, it's part of a statement and question. I know that you are successful with your business, Fishes of Men, and we have brothers, and we're taught to be, you know, to do for self. And we also have brothers in the nation that are not 100% with that do for self. They're kind of, you know, scared to get out there on their own. They're still punching a 9-to-5. Do you think that them punching that 9-to-5, that could be a factor in them not pursuing courtship for fear that the job might go away and they won't have a way to support a wife?
To be honest, that's probably in the back of their mind, because I'm sure, you know, just because we're in the Nation of Islam, I don't know if we really deep down believe that, you know, this economy may collapse. Maybe they're on the outside thinking this is what I really should be doing. That's just another way of looking at it. But let me say how I did it. When I joined the Nation, I had a part-time job. But then when I would go push, there was a brother that was selling incense. So he would give us a couple packs just to go, you know, make a little extra money. But we would be on the block for so long that it turned into a job. So I could tell the brothers, if you go out and push 6 to 8 hours, it can turn into a job. And you don't have to just have incense or pies or oils. You know, go see what our people need. But back to your original question, yeah, of course. I mean, a lot of us, honestly, are holding on to this world. And if we're holding on to this world, what makes us think we're going to do that, which what we probably know what we should do? So, I mean, we're looking at it from a marriage standpoint because that's what the question is. But ultimately, are we just holding on to this world? Is that what we're really doing?
Yes, sir.
Was that sufficient enough, Sister Lisa?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Well, I know the business is successful. Are there other ways? I mean, can they duplicate what you do? Is there, you know, can they, like, you know how you could have a...
Now this? Go ahead. No,
you
please.
You know how, like, you could be, like, other people buy Dunkin' Donuts. I forget how you phrase it, but... phrase it, but like a copy of your business, could they be partners with you, be a part of your business, and do it in their area?
Yes, I mean, I've done that with believers, and I start them off up front. So some of the brothers up here, we would start them off up front. Here's 100 incense. Just keep it. Go make 100, whatever. You keep the $100, whatever you sell incense for, and then we start from there. So some brothers have worked for us. And yes, it can be duplicated. In fact, it can be duplicated on, you know, 6 blocks from where you're. This is Seattle now. We have less than 10% black people up here. And we do pretty good because, you know, 60, 70, 80% of our business is black people. So, I mean, we're doing good here. I can imagine if I'm like in L.A. or in other cities, I couldn't imagine how big this could, you know, blow up and be bigger. So, yes. Yeah, tell them to give me a call. I'm on Facebook. You know, tell them to hit me up.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Waalaikumsalam.
Walaikum salam, ma'am. Okay. All right, Brother Caesar, anybody else?
Nope, that's about it right now. I guess everybody else is scared out there, but you guys don't be scared. Hey, just ask your questions. These guys are on top of it. If you got a question, just ask your question, all right? These guys are on top of it.
Okay, so Brother Mike, I have another question, a more personal question of you.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you can tell me none of my business, but I
yes.
still want to.
That, yes, ma'am. That was in my mind, so we'll see.
No, don't, Brother Michael, don't do that. Don't do that, Brother Michael. You'll get in trouble. Don't do it.
Oh, I'll get in trouble. Okay, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to know, since you are single, I just wanted to know, are finances part of the reason that you're single, or, you know, are you waiting on a certain amount of, you know, financial stability prior to pursuing marriage, or are you just single because you haven't found the right court mate?
I'll be honest. I got divorced in November of 2009. And the day I got divorced, I just went down to the beach. It was just me and Allah at the beach. And I said to myself, I'm going to give myself 2 years before I even think about courting again. Now, I don't know if that was Allah telling me that, if it's an engram, but I stuck with it. So all of the things that you're saying, yes, at one point or another, I have used that. But ultimately, that is not an excuse. So ultimately, for myself, if I look at it from the harsh end of myself, it's fear aspect of going through or being married again because of my last experience. So that's the last real hurdle that I can say or see within myself. Other than that, I can't say that I've seen someone who I thought was probably someone I think I could maybe court. But I can admit that I could be blind, because a lot of people like to say I am. So I could see that being thrown into the, you know, the equation. But to be honest, I try to reason with all the factors. And when I reason with all the factors, to be honest with you, I'm pretty comfortable of where I'm at, of what I'm doing and how I'm pursuing and trying to get to where I need to get to. I'm comfortable with it when I reason with it. So I hope that answered your question.
Michael, I want to say something. Sister Gidget, excuse me, I want to intervene for just a minute. Brother, you said you didn't know was it Allah telling you or was it an engram? I'm going to tell you right now, brother, it was Allah talking to you because he's the best knower. He knows what you're ready for. He knows what you're not ready for. He knows what you've been through that caused you to go through the divorce. He knows all of your struggles, whether it's inner or outer. He knows your struggles. He knows you inside and out. So, therefore, brother, that was not an engram. If it was an engram, guess what? You would have jumped into something that you were not ready for, and you'd be going through another damn divorce.
You know what, brother, I appreciate that, because when I reconcile the two, I believe that. It's just that sometimes, you know, you have people in your life that you may tell your story to that want to look at it from a different perspective. So I was only kind of appeasing to them. But ultimately, I believe that, brother, and I thank you for those words.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I'm going to shut my mouth.
Sister Gidget,
yes,
can Brother Michael X ask a question?
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. Now, I can see this also on some of the brothers' side. Some of the brothers are looking at some of the sisters as maybe being a little aggressive. Now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan told us a few believers' meetings back, he said, sisters, quit worrying about a man and make Allah sufficient. So how do you make, so how do we make the distinction that a sister may be aggressive, or is she just trying to get you to notice? Does that make sense?
Oh, you mean is she being aggressive and trying to get your attention?
And yes, maybe being overly aggressive maybe would be the statement I'm trying to make, the distinction between being overly aggressive or maybe giving you a hint, because the leader was addressing that quit worrying about a man. So when he was addressing that, I'm sure he's seeing something from the sister side that he's saying, make Allah sufficient. And obviously some sisters may not be making Allah sufficient, so I was interpreting maybe some of them are just being overly aggressive or complaining too much. So how can we make a distinction between the two, and how can we, you know?
Well, I would answer like this.
Yes.
When you see an act of desperation,
yes,
it's a different act between a sister who is genuinely attracted to you and she's just trying to get your attention. When a woman seems to be flamboyant and goes overboard, then that's an act of desperation. And she probably already has assumed your character and assumed her personal goal with you without even getting to know you, but just going on what she sees on the surface and what is in the desire of her mind at that time. So don't want a sister who is overly aggressive or who may be, how can I put it, using her sexuality to attract you. I think it's a blessing for a woman to choose a husband, you know, that quality of man in you. And I think that's a beautiful thing to be overly aggressive. I'm hearing some noise. Is that, what is that?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay, so I would be cautious about that. And then, you know, me being the type of person I am, I mean, this is just for me. I'm not saying for you to do this, brother, but I would ask her,
mm-hmm,
you know, what's motivation? What are you, you know, what
right,
are you doing?
Right.
I mean, because I think we have to learn how to communicate with one another, and we cannot be so fickle and so spooky. We have forgotten how to hold normal and decent conversations with one another, because I'm going to tell you something about the FOI. The FOI are to be the protectors of the women. In some instances, brother, you have to protect us from us.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some behaviors that we are exhibiting that you deem not appropriate, or you're questioning, then it's okay to pull your sister's coattail and say, hey, sister, you know, this is not looking right, and I'm just trying to get an understanding. You know, we have to talk to one another. We have to support one another. And if we can issue a point of correction with one another, then that's what we need to do. So I hope I answered your question.
Yes, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. Wow, I wasn't expecting to be answering the question. Okay. Before I go to the next question, are there any questions out there?
Let's see. Nope. I think we're doing good right now. You're doing good. Hey, I got a suggestion. Do you mind if I go to a song right quick and play a song so we can get the song in there?
Sure.
No problem.
Cool,
play us
cool.
a song, and I'll have a chance to regroup from Brother Michael's question.
I get you. All right, here we go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you.
Because Brother Vernon says he's trying to call in. Sister Shaka says she's trying to call in. And Brother Fletcher said he's trying to call in, and they're getting nothing on the line when they call in. They said, like, there's no show going on or something.
Yeah, so, I already know that. Me and your Brother Rakim have already talked about that. You can't call in right now. I'm sorry about that because I didn't set the show up right. It was set up for 15 minutes. It should have been set up for 2 hours. So if you're calling in now, I can't really get you.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
I know. Sorry.
What, can they hear the show?
Yeah, they can hear the show online right now. They can hear the show. You can hear me talking right now. They can hear me out there talking. They just can't. Hey, you know what? You probably can go to the chat room. If you got a question, go to the chat room. You can ask a question there, and I'll respond back to Sister Gidget and let her know what it is.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay, Brother Michael. Let's move on. I think I asked you enough about your business. So let me ask you this. Since we've determined that infidelity and finances are the two top reasons why people get divorced, and since we're going to try to stay on the topic of finances, Brother Michael, what is it? What occurs inside of the relationship that makes the finances be kind of like the foundation for a divorce? I mean, what happens there?
I think that in terms of the finances, the man, I would assume, doesn't feel he's the maintainer. Because if he's not the maintainer, he probably feels like I'm not doing that which what I'm supposed to do. If we're talking from his perspective, you know, I don't know from the sister's perspective or how she looks at it, but I'm guessing from the male perspective, he doesn't feel like the maintainer. It feels like a failure. So rather than, I guess, a lot of us not facing reality, you know, we don't step up and, like, I just got a tweet from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You know, I get some of those tweets. My brothers get, you know, a few of them. But he said, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, that God has the power to make you successful despite the intensity of your opposition. So I'm thinking a lot of times we're not facing that opposition. A lot of us are looking towards the system, towards the white man to do for us what we need to do for self. That's why we're collapsing, if you want to get technical. So there's going to be a lot of more of us collapsing in the future. But what was the last part of your question? So I wanted to answer that right. You said something about the finance. Why is finance making us get divorced? So I'm just going to guess that is because the male does not feel like he is the provider and the maintainer.
Okay, so, I'm just trying to grasp an understanding here. Mm-hmm. When you say he doesn't feel that way, Now, I'm living in the here and now, just as you are living in the here and now. And we have a lot of economic challenges in our community in particularly. It could be, you know, political. And when I say political, I mean that depending on where you are, you know what your town is like, and you know if people are more apt to hire people of color, as they consider, or, you know, minorities or whatever, however they politics go. And then, you know, it could be that a lot of markets have fallen off. I know a lot of people who were in real estate and who were in financial services that since this market has declined, so if that was their field of expertise, you know, they haven't found anything to fall back on. And so I'm wondering that under that pressure, it's often found that maybe sisters in particular will hound or harass or look at a man in a different light during this kind of struggle, or is it mostly due to the inadequacies that a man may feel during this type of struggle?
You know, that's a good question. I look at it in terms, I try to be reasonable with it. Now, let's look at it this way. If the finances were at a certain point and then the finances drop and that crushes the marriage, well, what was the marriage based on? When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was with Sister Khadija, according to him, he was broke for 7 years. She stuck by him. She didn't use that against him. So what did they have in common, or what did they have as the thread that bound them together? Obviously, right. It was love. So, and I think when she's seeing him, she's seeing the potential. So I don't think she ever really bathed. I know she didn't. Look where he's at. I know she didn't. So she always, I'm sure, encouraged him, and he was always doing that was what he needed to do to get to where he needed to get to. So I could see when marriages collapsed, well, what were they really based on? Was it finances? Was it how fine they are, how pretty they are, or convenience? Because if there was love there, would it collapse? Would you figure a way out of this? Would you figure a way of how to, you know, help each other to do that which what you need to do? So I think that's another way of looking at it.
Okay. I mean, and I agree, because it concerns me. Just like you said, you know, what was the basis of the marriage? And that's why, after being in this field for over 20 years of marriage counseling, I have never been able to grasp the concept of a divorce behind finances. I mean, I know there are certain acts that come into play under the pressure that may lead to a divorce. You know, I've known women who look at their men as failures and verbalize that, which is very discouraging to, it would be very discouraging to anyone who is in a financial difficulty at that time. And then I've heard where the men not necessarily feel inadequate, but they're agitated and become verbally or physically abusive due to that agitation. And so I just want to say to brothers and sisters who are considering marriage in general, that it's my prayer for you that you never let your financial inadequacies rule your marriage. If you married for love, let that love and let the blessings of Allah sustain that love through it all. You marry for better, for worse, in sickness and health, for richer, for poor, and we have to stick to those vows and remember why we got married, and not let financial difficulties consume us. And I just want to say that too. We have a lot of young people who are contemplating marriage at this point, and I want to try to be a voice of encouragement for them, because there are going to be some difficult times. There are going to be some difficult times for as a people, let alone finances. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that money is not going to be worth anything in a minute. And it's evident, because when you go to the grocery store now, what you used to could get for $10 is costing you $30. So, you know, in a minute, money is not going to have a value. And so it's going to be, you know, our individual skills and our talents and what we're able to pull together and do is what's going to get us over. So I want to get into another part of it now. Groans, and I'm sorry, I was looking at the board. I'm just so sorry that the people can't get in. I want to know emotionally, Brother Michael, and I don't know the circumstances of your divorce, and of course you don't have to share that with us, but I just want to know, could you kind of give us an idea of how does financial difficulties affect the emotional relationship that you may share with your mate?
Say that again, the last part again. It kind of was going in and out. I'm sorry.
I said, how does financial difficulties affect the emotional relationship that you may have with your mate?
I'm sure that it can cause a lot of stress, because we know we need money to live. It never really entered into my situation, because my, you know, ex-wife, she worked as well. So it never did get to a point of that hardcore stress. But I can only imagine if you're behind on bills or you're behind on, you know, things that are essential to life, so to speak, I can only imagine that that would cause strife. But can I read something of the Honorable Miss Lewis Farrakhan said in the because all of these impediments and all these problems that we have, they can be solved. And the first thing is to look at it from a positive instead of just a negative. But anyway, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said in the sacredness of the institution of marriage, he says, since the institution of marriage is one half of faith, then similar trials that are experienced in the journey of faith are also visited on those two souls that desire to become as one. After completion of many trials, the two become well-pleased in the eyes of each other and well-pleasing in the eyes of Allah God. So I feel that we're not doing that. When a trial comes, are we really forthrightly looking at that trial, going through that trial head on? Now, on a personal note, I could say this without getting too deep of my marriage. A lot of things that happened would more than likely have came out in courtship. Now, I'll admit that I got with my wife, you know, in the world. So I wasn't in the Nation of Islam. But if I was using the courtship process and asking all questions, and a lot of things that I've seen happen in the marriage, or in the, you know, being boyfriend and girlfriend first and then in the marriage, would have all more than likely been resolved. So I think we have to take the courtship seriously. And then, of course, we have to take the marriage seriously. But my point is, what kind of mindset do we have when trials come? Because they're going to come. So I think that's big.
Right. And you know, it's kind of easy, Brother Michael, to say what you would do in a particular situation versus what actually occurs.
Exactly.
Because you might have an idea of what kind of trials you're going to face, and so we try to prepare for those, but oftentimes they prove to be quite different than what we actually believe for them to be. And our reaction ends up also being quite different. So I just want to know, maybe if you had to do all over again, or maybe it was something that you had already attempted to do, what would you do, or what would you advise a couple who was embarking on marriage at this time, how would you advise them to hold on through the difficult times, especially the financial times? What would you say to them?
I think for myself is to be more humble and to be more patient. Because we know in the midst of a trial, these emotions stir up to where it makes us so emotional. But if we can try to just pray and fast, that's just like the basics. Pray and fast and seek Allah during this time. Don't seek other, a lot of us, I'll hit you with this. A lot of times I could see in the past that I was getting information from other people or how to handle situations. But I realized that a lot of times I was doing that to just justify my position. And in reality, I wasn't going to Allah because I'm sure Allah may have gave me an answer I probably didn't want to hear. So a lot of us may not want to go to Allah. We go to our best friend. Now, I'm not saying this is all of them, but I'm just saying we need to sincerely pray and fast and seek refuge in Allah during that time.
Right.
Trust me, I trust me. I've been there. I had to learn the hard way. And through my divorce, one of the greatest things I learned was in the study guide when it says that if you don't humble yourself to that which what Allah is trying to give you, it says He can force you. So a lot of us are going to be put in a position by force. And why not humble yourself before Allah puts you in a forced position. So my point. So that's how I would answer that question.
Okay, now I want to ask another question because I've found in my practice that oftentimes, and we're not talking about necessarily financial difficulties, or even if we are, oftentimes I found out that jealousy also causes a financial strain. So when we have a man who's trying to take care of the missus and the mistress,
mm-hmm.
that could also pose to be very difficult. And I just want to ask, I wish we had the audience. I just want to ask, how do you recover or do recover from infidelity in general, not financially, but in general?
Mm-hmm.
How do we get to the atonement process? And is the love and is the trust and is the bond ever the same after infidelity?
Yeah, that's kind of heavy. I was watching How to Mend a Broken Heart. By the Honorable Mrs. Farrakhan came out in 2004. He said the only way you can mend a broken heart, or matter of fact, he said only Allah, he said, can mend a broken heart. So you have to sincerely go to Allah. You have to sincerely question Him in the right spirit, and why is this happening? Don't question in the wrong spirit because you'll just justify it and you'll just look at the other person. Look at why Allah is teaching you this lesson. And in that same sermon, he said a lot of times Allah will teach us lessons or have us go through hard trials so we know what it's like. So then we can teach on that to other people. So sometimes that may be just his reason for having it happen to you. Maybe he's trying to make a great teacher out of you somewhere down the line. But in terms of reconciling, seek refuge in Allah. That's going to be the theme over and over.
Mhm. Yes, sir. Okay, well, some of us haven't graduated to that level, but okay, Brother Mike.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to qualify myself too, sis. So I'll put myself in it. Sometimes it's difficult because you like to play the victim. A lot of us love to be the victim. We love to act like this and this and this. But why aren't you questioning why Allah allowed it? Well, He allowed it. Yeah, you may be a victim, but He allowed it. So what was His reason? Why don't you question
right.
Him? The Honorable Mr. Farrakhan said He could speak. Question Him. And then he'll give you a higher understanding of why you went through what you went through. But you do have to accept it and then move on, because you won't move on if you don't accept that, which what Allah's going to tell you, because most of us just want to be the victim. I've been there, so I'm talking from experience.
Yes, sir. And I want to get back to the emotional aspect of the relationship, because sometimes what occurs is that we have a lack of control over our emotions. Sometimes we forget to rise above emotion. Sometimes we just refuse to try to rise above emotion. And we let disappointment consume us. And then in that consumption of disappointment comes the unraveling of our relationship, our friendship, and our understanding and our compassion for our mate. And, you know, and like I said, we all grown, so anything come out of my mouth, please don't be surprised. I'm trying to be politically correct. I can't never be stuck on a question. I'm just trying to be politically correct. How often have you heard, or as you may even know in your own experience, that wives, and I'm speaking to you as a man, wives deprive their husbands of sexual relations due to the financial stresses in the marriage?
And how? Okay, yes, I know of that. And what is the exact question you're trying to ask?
I'm just saying, does it happen often because of the financial stresses? Or, I mean, is that the norm? I mean, and the reason why I'm asking you is because I can take statistics all day long. I can go to my personal...
Understood. I understand. I'm sure, you know, I could say there's truth to that. Yes, because I do know people like that, and they complain about it. And there's truth to that. But look at this, I have this definition for finance, because, you know, finance is money, and it's currency. But currency refers to the generally accepted medium of exchange, a medium of verbal or intellectual expression. So, I mean, it's not just money, you know, the men aren't given that which they need to do other than finances, which are some of the reasons I'm sure that the women are depriving the men. It says in the Quran that, yeah, you can go into your wife, she's a titter for you at any time, but it says, but send good beforehand. So there has to be some good. Matter of fact, I've seen the leader, the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan, in Baltimore when he talked about strong marriages. And he talked about, yeah, you got to send something beforehand. He says, she got to get a fur coat or something out of this. You know, but he was saying, don't make that be the reason, but I knew the point. So
yeah, sex is not free. That's what he said. He said sex is not free.
Right. So there's a lot of legitimacy in that, which is probably, you know, correct. But make sure that's the real reason. We're not just doing it to be spiteful. Now, I'm sure that can occur as well. But go ahead.
And that's what I'm thinking that it is, because I'm just trying to fathom being married, going through hard times, and I'm just in my mind, I'm thinking that we you know, experience those difficulties together, but how or why do couples allow it to impact their emotional state? With their mate. I mean, if you're married and you're having hard times right now, that's not going to stop me from loving my husband. If anything, it might bond us closer together, but I'm not going to deprive him my love at a time of peril. I mean, it don't make sense to me to do that, but oftentimes that is what we're doing. And it makes me speak to or makes me wonder, you know, why are some of us really getting married, and are we really understanding while we're getting married, and have we become so spoiled in our characters that we are afraid or incapable of suffering with knowledge? And have we really prepared ourselves for prior to marriage to deal with these things? Because the divorce rate, like you said, inside and outside the nation are head-to-head. They're the same. So even in Islam, there's something that we're missing. There's an understanding that is not taking place, that is pulling families apart. And I just don't see it being finances. Maybe it's just me with a blind eye, but I just don't see that being the case. Are there any other reasons, Brother Michael, that you can think of?
Well, you know, in the midst of trials, things come out of us that we don't know that are there. You know, we're taught that these are the days of the manifestation of defects. So things are coming out of us every day that we can't understand, we don't see, we don't know. But in the midst of them coming out, it's showing who we are. Because we have the teachings. We have prayer, we have fasting, we know what we need to do, but are we doing that which what we need to do? So when these trials come up, how do you deal with them? How do you handle them? And like you said, I mean, let's be real, if these trials come up and it produces divorce, then what did we get married for? What was the real reason? We have to question that. Because why aren't we going through these trials and handling these trials and coming out on the other side of these trials a happy couple? That's, you know, that's something that has to be looked at. So, I mean, if we're going to get deeper and deeper, you know, it says on that paper where I read it, that trials are going to come. But you, after the trial, that's when we're going to be, you know, one with each other. But what happens during the trial?
Right. And you know, I just want to advise, because it's hard dealing with an individual's emotions. And since we're talking in general, every person is different, but hopefully the majority of people will understand that when things are difficult in your life, in your marriage, that is not the time to deprive.